Hey guys, Trevor here with E-Commerce Paradise. I apologize in advance for the wind noise. I'm out here in Bali and it's super windy right now, so I don't blame you if you just want to cut this video short. But this video is going to be specifically about different niche industries and which ones you will find more success in, whereas like which ones are really hard to get into because sometimes the suppliers of these niche products require you to have physical storefronts and things like that. Some industries are just more inclined to be workable for dropshipping, whereas others just aren't. It's just the way it works sometimes. All right, so if it's your first time watching the video or you're a subscriber or whatever, get your free niches list for high ticket dropshipping. These are profitable niches I've discovered that actually have dropshipping suppliers available and ready to launch new stores, and there's room for competition, all that good stuff. So tons of niche ideas there. Go to ecommerceparadise.com/99niches for that. Link is below. All right, guys, so make sure you smash that like button. Every like helps me spread these videos more and helps more people. I appreciate it. And if you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button as well. So some niche industries just are better for dropshipping. Some aren't quite ready for it yet. I'll give you an example of the first one I started in, which was the skateboard industry. I'm a skateboarder, and I always wanted to sell skateboard stuff because, when I first started with dropshipping, because I thought, how cool would it be to like work in the same niche that I love and I'm passionate about? It'd be great because then I can make tons of YouTube videos and, Instagram posts every day because I'm very passionate about it. I'm also very knowledgeable, so I could sell it. So it fit both of those criteria. But the problem is with skateboards is they didn't fit the profitability criteria that I talk about. Now, the profitability criteria is really key to success, okay? You gotta make sure, number one, that the products are high price point, okay? So, when you're dealing with products that are like $50 to $100, the profit might be like 20 or 30%, but you're not making much per order. And so it's gonna take you a high volume of orders to make enough profit to have a living, right? And it's hard to get a high volume of orders, especially in the very beginning, before you really have all your systems and processes down, have all your like marketing stuff built up, have a lot of organic links and social media community coming to you. For people that are already content creators, right, that people have like a million YouTube subscribers, it's pretty easy to start a print-on-demand merchandise store and then just send traffic from their subscriber base for their new videos right to their store and then sell their stuff. There's a good example in the skateboard industry of Revive Skateboards. They have a website called The Shred Quarters, and they basically just make YouTube vlogs all day long. Each person on that team has their own YouTube vlog with like millions of subscribers. It's pretty crazy. And they're kind of in partnership and like friends with the guys who do Braille skateboarding as well, which is a whole separate channel that does skateboard lessons and stuff like that, online skateboard lessons, in-person skateboard lessons. They both have their respective like warehouses and skate parks. I believe Revive is in Ohio and Braille is in San Francisco, California. So they do really well because they create tons of content. So they're able to sell skateboards and things in the skateboard industry, learning training materials, things like that, that are fairly low ticket because they have a lot of volume and it's all free traffic. It's organic traffic. It's referred traffic from YouTube and word of mouth and stuff like that, right? So that works great for them. But when you aren't starting out with that kind of a base and you're starting out from scratch, you can't choose an industry like that. You're just not going to get any traffic. And if you try to use paid advertising to send to listings, it's going to be very expensive. Right, because you're bidding on expensive generic traffic that often doesn't convert very well. Even branded traffic and stuff like that, you have to pay more for. And of course, even if it did convert, you're not making much per sale. Cost per clicks are pretty high. If your website doesn't convert super fast, then you might have a tough time becoming profitable. And that's just one end of the equation. The next end is the suppliers, okay? And every industry is different. Some industry has available dropshipping suppliers, some just don't. And so it's very difficult sometimes to get into an industry that you're passionate about because oftentimes the suppliers for like hobby niches and things like that are going to only want to work with brick and mortar retailers. They want you to buy their products up front. They want you to stock the products, right, and then sell them and, sell them in person or ship them out, whatever you want to do. But that's who they want to work with. They want to work with a retailer base that's brick and mortar. And you got to ask yourself why. But it makes sense to them. They want to sell in bulk, right? They want to ship their products in bulk. They want the retailer also not just to buy the product, but also provide service on those products. If it's a skate shop, they're going to provide the service of assembling the product, right? And by the skate shop assembling a product for someone who's a beginner, they're going to ensure the product was assembled correctly. So the person has a less of a chance of getting injured when they use that product, which is really key because if that person just assembled the product themselves and they assembled it wrong, there's a big chance that they could get injured, and there's a high liability for the manufacturer at that point because the manufacturer would have sold it directly or gone through a dropshipper who sold it, and there's liability involved. Manufacturer often doesn't want to have that liability, and so we'll work with brick and mortar retailer service centers to sell their products. And this is very common in many different hobby niches, okay? Like skateboards, you know, you really can't even get an account with a distributor unless you have a brick and mortar skate shop. And even if you have like a big warehouse, it's difficult to get accounts, and it costs a lot of money up front because you still have to buy in bulk and you have to stock it, okay? So I tried the skateboard thing. At the time, there was actually a website called like skateboarddropshipper.com or something like that, and I found them by typing skateboard dropshipper into Google, which of course they knew because they're doing SEO. And once I found that website, I figured, okay, I'll start up an account with them, but I found out that they actually charge around $70 a month just to have an account in the first place. I couldn't even see their wholesale pricing before that, which kind of, you know, I realized it doesn't sound right, okay? It kind of sounds like a scam, right? And later on, I figured out that their pricing was really bad because they're a distributor, and of course, they take about half the margin or so, so like on a, you know, normally sold at $50 skateboard, they're charging me $40 on it. That doesn't even include shipping. So I'd be losing money for sure. And I would have to sell it at like $70 or $80, which online makes no sense because online you should be able to sell things for less than a brick and mortar store would, not more. So obviously it wasn't going to work out. And I asked them for a refund and they didn't ever reply back. And that's when I knew it was a scam. So I filed the chargeback, got my money back from the bank, and, you know, called it good. Moved on from that. So instead of selling skateboards, I had to choose a different industry. And I was looking around at different industries, and I knew it was I needed to start with something I was passionate about and had some skills and experience with. Because with e-commerce, you really have to create a lot of content to be successful, okay? You know, content for the product pages, blog content, reasons people should buy things right now, that kind of stuff, the best this, the best that. And you've got to create some YouTube videos, you've got to create Facebook posts, like you got to build community, and you have to build buzz around your store, you know? You can't just run paid advertising and make a bunch of money. You've got to create content, okay? And back then it was before Google Shopping even cost any money. So Google Shopping back then was free when I first started around 2010. And so that's a whole nother story. But what I decided to do was go with a different niche. And it was actually suggested to me by somebody else. I started selling bicycles because I was told like, hey, there's more money and there's more profit per sale, which is great. High ticket dropshipping, right? And there's actually dropshipping suppliers that will allow me to sell their product and, you know, obviously ship it to my customer, and there's a decent margin per sale, okay? And, you know, I was just in the right place at the right time. We found a supplier that normally only sells to bike shops but was willing to set up us up with a dropshipping account if we were to buy some upfront inventory. Their only requirement was 10 units, but they didn't specify of what, and they sold all different types of bikes, everything from like $1,000 bikes to $10 kids bikes. So we bought 10 of the $10 kids bikes for $100, and boom, we had a wholesale account with them. So we were able to get that wholesale account. It's funny that I have a store that I'm still dealing with the same company today and selling their products, which is awesome. But yeah, so that's where I started. And you know, I basically used a platform that was similar to eBay called eCreator that did not charge like the 9% eBay fee that they charge. And eCreator integrates with PayPal and back then Google Pay. And I believe now they integrate with Stripe. But you know, I started using them before Google Shopping was paid, before when it was free. In 2012, Google Shopping became a paid-only platform. So from 2010 to 2012, I had an e-store that was free to set up with eCreator, completely free to set up and use. And also, they pushed the Google feed to their merchant center and then to Google Ads. So they ran shopping ads for free. They didn't have to pay for it. And so I got free traffic, free optimized targeted traffic, which was amazing. I didn't have to create too much content on the store to sell products and the products itself. Okay. Later on, in 2012, things became paid and the platform would then charge money per the sale that you made, like eBay. So I decided to switch from eCreator and actually set up a WooCommerce store using WordPress. And I started making a lot of content. So, you know, I would get organic traffic, not just having to do paid traffic, Google Shopping. And I got tons of traffic because not only was I doing a ton of content on the website, but I was also doing YouTube videos for the products. I would actually go to the supplier's warehouse, buy the product, you know, go back home, make a video assembling it, then make a video riding around and reviewing it, and then I would then just like sell it on Craigslist, you know, and somebody would buy it from me. So I would be able to create tons of content for YouTube and for the blog and for the product pages, and it worked out great and did amazingly well there. And the bicycle industry is very unique because the bicycle industry is very old. and it has both types of suppliers. It has some of the major name brand suppliers. They only work with brick and mortar stores. So you're not going to be able to get an account with like Trek or Cannondale or Giant, any of these big retailer, big brands, because they don't want to work with just online only stores. They only want to work with service centers, people that can provide service and be a good brand partner. Okay? And so I dealt with generic brands. Basically, brands that weren't name brands that were off brands, whatever you want to call it, but they were like lesser known brands. And they still had brand names, so I could use their brand names and model names and SKU numbers in the search queries to target, you know, those keywords and queries and whatnot, which was great for getting traffic, and I could sell their products and dropship them. And the margins weren't as much as name brands would offer, probably like closer to 20%, maybe as low as 10 sometimes, but I was able to make sales and able to make profit per sale. And eventually, with all the organic traffic and even using a little bit of Google Shopping, I got tons of sales to that industry for these off-brand products. Okay, so that worked out. Some industries are very similar to the skateboard industry, where like you cannot find suppliers that will drop ship for you. They want you to buy up front. They want you to invest in inventory. Every industry, almost every industry, has these suppliers. Some industries only have these suppliers. Like every single supplier you might find will tell you the same thing. Hey, you have to have a brick and mortar store. You have to buy upfront inventory, that kind of stuff. You have to provide service. You'll find that on the very complicated industries where products have lots of different parts and there's high liability issues. Maybe on the younger industries as well, the newer industries, the ones where the suppliers aren't as well established, or maybe they are and they're just not looking to sell their products through dropshippers because they have had bad experiences or something like that. So like one example of that, I believe, is the baby niche, right? When you're selling car carriers and other things for the babies, a lot of those distributors and brands only want to work with retail brick and mortar storefronts. I found this out a few years ago when I was doing research and calling suppliers in that niche. And things may have changed since then, but when you're doing research in a niche, it's always good before you get started to actually just find the supplier's contact information. Call them up really quick, because you can always call a supplier even if you don't have a website and just ask them right up front, are you offering dealer accounts to online only stores that do drop shipping? And they'll tell you yes or no. It's really simple. And they might ask you if you have a website, and you say, hey, I'm just getting started. I'm working with a mentor who's done this, that, and the other thing. So I'll be able to do really well, but I don't want to start a store in this niche until I can verify that at least 5 or 10 of the suppliers, you know, are going to be able to drop ship for me. And they'll say, okay, fine, no problem, yes or no. And at that point, then you can just make your decision. So you know upfront before you build your store out whether you'll be able to actually get a store going. Because a lot of people, they just build a store and then they contact suppliers and they just email them and then find out the hard way that, oh, sorry, we don't actually drop ship for online only stores. We do drop ship, but only if you have a brick and mortar store and you've bought a certain amount of inventory from us. Or we do drop ship only if you have a brick and mortar store. Or we drop ship, but you have to buy a certain amount of inventory from us. We don't care if you have brick and mortar or not, you know. So before you find that out, before you waste all your time, definitely do that, guys. There's a lot of industries like that, and some industries just have some suppliers that are like that. It's just part of it, and suppliers that aren't like that. So every industry is different. Make sure you do your research first before you get into it. Again, I apologize for all this wind noise. Here in Bali, it's really windy in the springtime, and there's a lot of weather coming through right now. I like to do all my work outside in an outside office because it's very relaxing. All the wind kind of brings me a lot of oxygen. I can look at the clouds in the sky. I have a great home office atmosphere here. I'm going to actually be moving villas here in about a week to Seminyak, which is on the west coast of Bali. I've been in Sanur for the last couple of months, which is on the east coast of Bali. And it's a really nice area. It's beautiful. If you ever come out to Bali in the future after all this pandemic stuff is over, I highly recommend Sanur. I highly recommend Seminyak. Canggu is great as well. Bali is an awesome place to do work from. Great internet as well, and lots of people to meet, lots of digital nomads in the community and expats and stuff like that. Lots of fun things to do, beautiful nature. If you like surfing, it's one of the top surf destinations in the world with tons of surf spots and reef breaks and stuff like that. If you like skateboarding, tons of skate parks. If you like riding mountain bikes and electric bikes, there's tons of different bike paths and, you know, tour companies. And if you like hiking and camping, there's all sorts of that too. It's a great island, and it's on the other side of the world from the United States, so it's pretty far. It's like a 18-hour total journey from the United States to Bali on average. And so obviously that's pretty far. But, you know, if you can make a trip out, I highly recommend at least staying for 2 weeks, if not three. Or longer, of course. If you're a digital nomad like me, you can stay as long as you want. So I recommend that. Get your store started, guys, if you haven't yet. If you're not profitable yet, hit me up and ask me for advice. I can try to help you become profitable. You can always email me at trevor@ecommerceparadise.com. If you don't know about my high-ticket dropshipping masterclass yet, check the link in the description below. Get your free niches list, free mini course. and watch my webinar, right? Get into the masterclass eventually, and get a turnkey Shopify store. I build turnkey stores for people. You know, get info on that at ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. Let me know if you have any more questions. Happy to help. Thanks so much. And make sure you subscribe. Make sure you review the podcast, ecommerceparadise.com/podcast. Take care, guys. And I hope that you become successful with high ticket dropshipping. I'll talk to you in the next episode. Take care.